He said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. What does that mean? That means your own heart can fool you. You think you know your heart, and your heart will tell you this and tell you that. Have you ever gotten some counsel from your heart and you thought that was it? And not long thereafter, your heart changed your mind. Let me take you back to some younger days first before I walk you any further. You remember when you were a puppy? I'm talking about puppy love now. You were young. You thought you knew. You thought you knew what love was all about. And some older person knew better, tried to tell you better, but no, you knew better. Now, you got to realize that there are stages in life, and at certain stages, you only know certain things. Now, grant you, even though the puppy love had not yet grown to full mature love, the love is real to the puppy. But what you've got to recognize is the puppy does not have experience in this area, and the puppy can only speak for itself and not the other puppy that it's in love with. People can say, I love you, and mean many things. I love you as a friend. I love you as a brother or sister in Christ. I love you as a playmate. I love you perhaps as a boyfriend or girlfriend or mate for life itself. But until they are articulated to the greatest degree and detail where you know what they're talking about, your heart can make you believe something that is not so. I know she loves me. Look how she look at me. She's looking at you because you're dressed like a clown. You look like a fool. You don't know. Your heart will tell you all kinds of things. And because it's your heart telling you this, you think your heart's not going to fool you. But your heart is deceitful above all things. And I mean, we can go on from everything to what people tell. You know, one of the other things that I can't get over is people have mirrors most times at their homes, and they get dressed and they know how they look, and somebody will see them knowing that they are not dressed to the nines and tell them, ooh, you know you some clean, you casket clean, you sharper than a tag. On and on and on. And listen, it's one thing to let them fool you, but it's a whole nother thing to let you fool you. Now, it may not be the best out there, but maybe that's the best you had, but you ought to at least have sense enough to know that. And these are simple, small illustrations, but it grows to every situation that faces. Our hearts can fool us. How can we keep it from fooling us? One, by filling our hearts with the content of God's word. The proper content produces proper character. The proper character produces proper consequences. Now, when you recognize that you can't have the proper consequences without the proper character, and you can't have the proper character without the proper content, and you can't have the proper content unless it comes from the word, the written, divinely inspired word of God. It's from that word that we get instructions. It's from that word that we get enlightenment. It's from that word that we get understanding. It's from that word we understand the revealed mind of God. It's from that word we get instructions from God and avoid destructions from man. It's from that word we have God speaking to our hearts and our spirit man and leading us in the way that follows after Christ his son. The word. If your heart is not filled with the word, it will be filled with a word. Word? Yeah, word. But that don't mean that's a word from the Lord. And some of us don't understand that man's word and God's word many times are two very different words. Trust God's word. And then three, if you play the fool, you don't have to stay the fool. Help me on this last point. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, if you play the fool, you don't have to stay the fool. Now listen, this is important because again, some of you won't ever believe that you ever were a fool. That show you right now, you're a fool. Why? Because there is no person on earth who has not at one time or another been a fool in their lives. But the real fool is the fool who does not recognize that they are a fool. And they continue in foolish ways. And my brothers and sisters, listen, God doesn't have much to do at all with fools. Y'all remember the story I talked about in Luke chapter 12, verse 16 through 20? When Jesus was telling the parable about the rich man, whose ground brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit. And then he went on to say, he said this will I do. I will tear down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And he said, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But the next verse was in the Bible. Verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall all those things be which thou hast provided? And then it says something that brings us into the text. Verse 21 says, so is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. So is he. So is he what? A fool. You stacking and storing and laying aside this and that for a rainy day and for retirement and all of this. Don't you know God can let you lay it up and then take you away from it and leave it here and let somebody else enjoy it? Don't you know the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous? Don't you know God has got this thing fixed? You, my brothers and my sisters, need to know that man had opportunity after opportunity to turn his thought patterns around. There's no family mentioned in the text. There are no friends mentioned in the text. There's not the Heavenly Father mentioned in the text. It was just him, himself and himself all wrapped around him. And he missed God and all that he had worked for. God gave it to somebody else. Just because you played a fool don't mean you have to stay a fool. It's important to recognize, brothers and sisters, that in this life, in each life, some rain must fall. But what is good is to understand that God knows what's going to happen today, tomorrow, and forever. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calms the water. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calms the sea. Put your hand in the hand of the man who holds tomorrow. And you'll discover that that man has all power in his hand. Just because you play the fool don't mean you have to remain a fool. I want to share a little story I've shared with you before. There was this young man who had grown up with no mother and a godly father. And it was at his birth that the Lord took his mother and left his father to rear him up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And that old man gave that boy everything he had to come up the way God would have him come up. And he brought him to Sunday school, vacation Bible school, and church on Sundays. And that boy knew the Lord for himself. He graduated from high school and was getting ready to go to college. And when he told his father he wanted to go to school out of state, the father said, "Well, it's your choice, but all I tell you is make sure you take the Lord Jesus along with you." And the boy said, "Daddy, I'm gonna take Jesus with me. I'm gonna keep Jesus by my side." But you know, sometime when young folk get away from home training, just like the prodigal son, and have the ability to make their own choices and do their own thing, sometime they don't do what's right. And for four long years, that boy didn't call back home. That boy did not communicate with his father. And then finally, he came home looking different, walking different, talking different, with a degree behind his name. He sat down there as the father was excited and said, "I want you to tell me all about your experiences." And they sat down on the couch for hours, and the old man was in his rocking chair, and he listened to that boy tell him about his experiences from his freshman year all the way to his senior year. And then finally, the old man said, "Son, we've been talking for many hours now, and I haven't heard you one time say anything about Jesus." The boy looked at him and said, "Daddy, I was hoping you wouldn't bring that up, because while I was away at school, I learned that there's no such thing as God, that God was a figment of the white man's imagination to bring the slaves under mental and moral control. I realize, Father, that God is not real." The old man looked at the boy and said, "Son, I don't believe you said that. How can you say God is not real? I don't know how many times we didn't have food to put on the table. And I told you to set the table. And I went in my room and I called up on God. And by the time I got through praying, somebody was knocking on the door saying, the Lord told me to bring this by for you and your son. How many times you got sick and I didn't have money to take you to the doctor? I went in the cabinet, got some olive oil, put the olive oil on your head, prayed the prayer of faith, and you recovered. Son, you don't understand. It was nobody but the Lord who brought us thus far. The boy said, Daddy, I'm telling you, I don't believe in God no more. The old man said, Son, tell me this. Who woke you up this morning? The boy said, Daddy, before I went to bed last night, I set my alarm clock for the time I wanted to get up. And when that time came this morning, my alarm clock went off and I got up. Bible makes clear that God is in control of all things. But the boy would not believe the old man. Listen, the old boy said, Daddy, let me ask you three questions and I'm gonna leave you alone about your God. Tell me, can you see your God? Boy, Daddy said, no, son. He said, Daddy, tell me, can you touch your God? And the boy Daddy said, no, son. He said, tell me, can't you taste and see that the Lord is good? The old man said, boy, if I were you, I wouldn't play with God. The boy said, Daddy, there ain't no God to play with. This is what he said. I'm going to spend a little time with my friends now, and I'll see you when I get back. The old man said, son, I wouldn't walk out those doors without Jesus in my heart. Boy said, good night, Daddy. He went on out the door. The old man turned around, went, sat in his rocking chair, and told the Lord all about his troubles. He said, Father, you've heard me pray in years past and gone. He said, I want you to touch my son. I don't want you to kill him. I just want you to touch him, to let him know you are real. About 2 hours later, the phone rang. Mr. Jones, yes, this is he. Your son is in intensive care. We want you to come down. He's gotten in a terrible accident. Mr. Jones said, I'll be down in a moment, and he hung up the phone.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
All right, you are in all the we'd like to call you Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Psalm 53:1, that simply says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God, corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. And my brothers and sisters, we talked about the things a fool would say. And the most difficult thing that God deals with that a fool says is there is no God. No God. I want to share three things with you. I'm not going to do an exegetical message or deep into the text. I want to do this topical message today because I just want you to get 3 points. Look again at what Psalm 53:1 says. The fool. David says the fool. He says this in Psalm number 14:1. The same thing that he's saying here. So he comes back at this occurrence again to share this with the people of Israel concerning the fools and God. And let me say to you, it doesn't matter who you are, what your age is, what your educational background, what your financial background, what your accomplishments are. If you leave God out of your life, you are a fool. A fool. The fool, David says, hath said in his heart. The first thing I want to tell you is that everybody plays a fool. You can sit there and look holier than thou if you want to. You can sit there and act like nobody ever played you for a fool, but you're going to discover before the message is over with, you have been played the fool. Listen, when Adam and Eve turned their backs on God, did not believe that God was who God said he was and would do what God said he would do, they then, being fooled by Satan, became the first fools on planet Earth. They then passed on death-carrying, polluted blood, not only to Cain and Abel, but to every human being since their existence. And since their existence, because they doubted God, because they disobeyed God, all of us who have not recognized that we were born in sin, shapened in iniquity make the same mistake at one time or another in our lives. We all have played the fool. Everybody, y'all know the song, Everybody Plays the Fool. Reverend, but what group is that?
That's ingredients,
the main ingredients. See, there's some of us who'll be real enough to tell you they ain't been saved all their days, and even some saved still know these songs. Yeah, everybody plays a fool when? No exceptions to the rule. It may be factual, it may be cruel, but y'all know that better than Amazing Grace. And you need to recognize, my brothers and sisters, it may be young in life, it may be in midlife, and what's worse is to be an old fool late in life. But everybody plays a fool. My brothers and sisters, listen, Satan knows what we want. He knows many times our heart's desire because he put the desires in our heart. And then we lean on that desire. And then we find ourselves wanting that which is contrary to the word, the will, and the way of God. And we allow him to pull us out of our place of safety. And we play the fool for Satan. And Satan is trying to fool us out of our souls. Hell was not made for us, but for Satan and his angels, his fallen angels, his imps, his demons, all of those who turned their backs on God. Hell was prepared for them. But Satan wanted to take man, the apple of God's eye, the desire of God's heart on earth, the greatest creation that he made in his image and in his likeness. And he wanted to turn them back from God and cause them to lose their souls. Don't fool yourself for a minute. The Bible says the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. And if you're not aware of that, Satan will play you for a fool. Second thing I want to tell you about the scripture here that gives us insight to this word is that your heart can make a fool out of you. Your heart. It's bad enough if somebody else fools you. But you know it's worse to fool yourself. Many folk with pride, many folk who think themselves to be more than what they are, many folk who go beyond what God has said or given. God has given them assignments to do, etc., and the assignments are too small for what they believe is their greater gifts. A lot of times the Bible wants to try your faithfulness. And the Bible is clear that he who is faithful in little is faithful in much. And God would expect that you would do the little things with all of the vigor, vim, and vitality as you would the greatest challenges of your life. But you begin to think, I'm above all of that. And when you dishonor God, because God is testing you, God is trying you, and God is preparing you for greater. And it begins with that sometimes is the smallest. But Jeremiah said this. He said, the heart is deceitful above all things. And